Blog Talk Radio.
What's up? It's your boy Core DJ Hershey. He in the ATL. And you know what? Who else got that finesse out there? The one and only Candace and Shelly.
You are now rocking with Alia Safraz. Welcome to Chicago 52 Radio, a green party where you're invited to the party and asked to dance.
Yes, that's right. That's right. You are live on the air. This is Candace Carey. And we are launching our very, this is a special night again, and to all our listeners worldwide in Los Angeles, in Miami, London, California, Chicago, I mean, so many great things are happening, you know, despite what we're seeing, you know, what's going on in the news and COVID and stuff like that, and we take acknowledgement to those things, but we have a new show tonight, and it's called Chicago District 52, and it's with, our host is Alia Safraz, and she is, I mean, she's a powerhouse, I gotta tell you. We met her through a confidant or a friend in Chicago, and now she is launching her first show tonight. Welcome to the show, Alia Safraz, how are you?
Hey, good evening. I'm so excited to be starting this show with you all and to introduce my guest. Thank you.
Yes, yes. So why don't you tell your listeners about, you know, about you, your background for those who are listening and just, you know, they don't know who you are and what this is about. Like, what's your, why did you decide to want to come on the air and start your own show?
Hi. Okay, so here's the deal. I was canvassing for District 52. I'm running as state representative. And when I really started to have those real deep and raw conversations with people, that's when I found out that there's not enough of this happening in the region. People have so much on their mind, so much on their plate that they want to get out. And when I realized that I could be adding value to people's lives just by running and providing a platform, that's what made running so worth it. So I felt like Chicago is segregated as a city, but we could have used, you know, the medium of radio to bring people together. And so I have this opportunity with you all at AIA Inc., and I'm using my hands here to bridge, to build bridges. And we are the people, we're in this together, and Blog Talk Radio has taken off because people need conversation, especially in a time of COVID, to connect and keep going. And District 52, in its own unique way, is tucked away from the city life and becomes completely tranquil in certain areas and aspects of their life. But we as people can also connect and be heard throughout the U.S. and other areas of the world. And that's what makes this so amazing. And I'm just so excited to bring on my guest tonight, Ms. Tracy Colleen, hairstylist of District 52. And I'm just wondering what she has to say tonight.
Oh, my goodness. Hi, good evening. Hello. How are you all?
Hi, we're doing good. So here's what happens now. So All guests have to dial 563-999-3425 and dial extension 1 to be a guest dialer placed in queue to speak with Tracy tonight and ask her any questions that they may have on their mind. I know a lot of people have not had the opportunity to even connect with their hairstylists throughout COVID, and women take hair seriously. I'm not so sure about men, but men these days as well. Let's not discount them. So Tracy has a lot of value to bring here tonight, okay? And she works at these two salons here, Ahava Organic Salon and Undone Organic Chair. And on one of her websites, I'm just going to quickly take a quote. When you are green, you are growing, and when you are ripe, you rot. So please, Tracy, come on in and let's talk some more.
Yeah, I mean, what questions do you have for me? What do you want to know?
All right. So how many times have you been told it's what's on the inside that counts? It's probably a lot. And your personality is obviously unique, but it's what's on the outside that is about a person individually and what their personality says. So hair is arguably one of the first things people notice when they meet someone new.
Yes.
And you have that ability in your hands and complete freedom to create that source of self-expression. So what is it that you do or that goes through your mind when you see somebody for the first time?
Well, you know, I will say the first time I see somebody, the first thing I notice is their hair. And to me, I really have to ask some good questions. When somebody comes to me and sits in my chair, they want to know what they can do to feel more like themselves. To feel beautiful. But I also need to know who they are and how far I can take their hair. So whether that is, you know, just keeping it really nice and conservative or going next level and giving them that, you know, bright green hair that they've always wanted or, you know, shaving half their head. It really just, you have to be able to understand who a person is on the inside to be able to reflect that on the outside for sure.
Okay. So one of the interesting or more notable aspects about you as a hairstylist, something that I've noticed in your works, is that you talk a lot about the use of organic material. And I would like you to tonight take that opportunity to educate us on why that is so important.
Okay. So I might geek out here a little bit, so rein me in if you need to. But what we put on our skin, on our hair, what we put into our bodies is so important because our skin, you know, a lot of people don't realize that our skin is our largest organ, and anything we put onto our skin ends up in our bloodstream. Our blood goes everywhere in our body. And so if you're putting something that your body would see as toxic onto your skin, that those toxins are absorbing into your blood. And it's not just sitting on your scalp for a little while. It's really getting everywhere in your body. So it's really important that we use ingredients that are going to be the most beneficial and healthiest for our bodies, as well as giving us the results that we want. So a lot of that, a lot of those ingredients that are in conventional hair styling, hair coloring products can be toxic to our bodies. And hairstylists actually have a large percentage of the population of hairstylists do end up with asthma and other types of diseases and even cancers because of the toxins that. So it really is important that we take care of our bodies and know what are the ingredients that we're putting onto our skin because they are getting absorbed into our bodies. I happen to use a very, very fantastic color line from the United Kingdom, and they really take care of the ingredients that they choose. They're all sourced ethically. A lot of it is locally sourced there in the UK, and we get it directly from the manufacturer. And I have not used any other product that is like this product that I use. It's chock full of organic ingredients, as many natural ingredients as possible that are, you know, soil certified. They're vegan friendly. They are absolutely against any animal testing. And all of that's really important because we need to be not only good to our bodies, but also to our planet. We need to take care of this world that we live in. And if we can't do that, then we're going to run into some issues in the future. So what else do you want to know?
No, that was great. That was very informative. And so what toxic elements should we be looking out for? Is there anything in specific or particular that anybody here could benefit from tonight or listening, even when it comes to shampoos and things like that? What brands would you endorse, or certain products, or you feel are more healthy for the planet? We would like to know.
Well, you know, in hair color, in order for hair color to work, we have to have something to adjust the pH of our hair. And most conventional color lines use ammonia for that. Ammonia is great at adjusting the pH, but it is so high in pH that it disrupts our natural pH, and it can cause burns to the scalp. So the hair color that I use is called Organic Color Systems, and we are 100% ammonia free. So if you can't use Organic Color Systems, at least find a hair color that is 100% ammonia free, because it will be much healthier for you in the long run. Ammonia is a gas, and so when it does off gas, that's when you get that burning, your nose starts running and burning, your eyes are burning and watering. So definitely you want to avoid ammonia in any product. When it comes to shampoos, conditioners, all of that, you really want to make sure that you're free of sodium lauryl sulfate, free of parabens, phthalates, anything like allantoin, these nasty preservatives. There's a lot out there. There are different websites that you can look up these ingredients, like the EWG Skin Deep. Got kind of a love-hate relationship with that website, but it is great for information if you want to look at the back of your shampoo bottle or your styling products, and just type in, you know, those ingredients so you can at least find out what they are. Another thing you want to avoid really is mineral oil. Personally, mineral oil is just a big no-no for me. Mineral oil is derived from petroleum products, and I don't want to put anything that's derived from petroleum in or on my body. And a lot of shampoos, conditioners, styling products, lotions have mineral oil in them. And I know a lot of people who are actually very sensitive to that. You want to avoid synthetic products. Go for as natural as possible. I'm not going to say if you can't pronounce the product, you shouldn't be putting it on your body, because that's not true. There are lots of natural things that even I have trouble pronouncing. So definitely do some research for yourself, but you want to avoid the big ones. Parabens and phthalates are known carcinogens. Formaldehyde, that's in a lot of nail polishes. You want to avoid formaldehyde as well. So, I mean, I could go on and on, but really, those are the big ones that you want to avoid.
Wow. That is so many things to look out for.
Yeah.
Oh, right. Wow. So I can't believe that corporations still continue to use these elements in their products. What do you feel is the primary reason or driving force behind that?
You know what? It's the cheapest way for them to make money. What's really interesting also is in the U.S., the number of ingredients that are banned to be, you know, banned for cosmetic use is pitiful. I mean, it's a handful of ingredients. Over in Europe, there are so many ingredients that are banned for use in cosmetics. And so you will find that these big, huge corporations, and I really hate to name any, but we all know who they are.
Yeah.
The really, really big ones that you're going to find on the shelf in your local Target or Walmart. They have American formulations and they have European formulations, and they are different because they're allowed to use certain ingredients in American formulations that they are not allowed to use in European formulations. And it's a quick way to make money. And, you know, they are only looking at their bottom line. These big, huge corporations, that's really all they can do is looking at their bottom line. And so they're going to do what they can to make the most money while putting out the least amount of money. But there are, it's not just ingredients. It's also what we do with the packaging of our ingredients. We need to look into post-consumer recycled plastics. Plastics aren't going away. They just aren't. So we need to take, rather than making brand new plastics, we need to use the plastic that we have already made. Again, I'm going to name drop the company that I love, Organic Color Systems. They are one of the first hair companies to use 100% post-consumer recycled bottles, both in their hair color and in their hair care. And so I think that's just absolutely amazing that they have taken it upon themselves to spend a little bit more money to save and to better the planet, rather than only being concerned with, you know, what's their profit margin this year. They're looking, how can we better our planet? And if, just imagine if bigger corporations, because Organic Color Systems is a very small corporation, if the large worldwide huge conglomerates would take the time to spend a little bit more money on post-consumer recycled plastics, how much that would take out of our landfills, how much better recycling we would be. You know, there'd be less new plastics out there because we can reuse what we've already made. In the long run, it's going to do so much better for our planet. And if the large corporations did that, I mean, that would just be huge. I would love that. I would definitely stand up and applaud for them if they did that. So we can push for that one, for more people to use the post-consumer recycled plastics. What else? Gosh, I kind of lost my train of thought on that. I got so stuck on the recycled
plastic. You did a phenomenal job. Good. I think that's the type of education that we as consumers, as people who care about our hair and body, I think people are now more conscious about what they're taking in and out. And this awareness is leading to health and so forth. So
yeah.
We do applaud you for engaging in that conversation. And if you could just further let us know as to what challenges you're facing during COVID as being a hairstylist or even family-wise. We just want to know what people are going through right now.
Well, you know, as a hairstylist, living in Illinois and working in Illinois, we were forced to close our doors for a solid 10 weeks. And that was very difficult because that meant I was not getting the income. I was able to get unemployment, which was helpful, but it was not anywhere close to what I would be making had I been able to work for those 10 weeks. It was very difficult then coming back because everybody wanted to get in at the same time. So it got crazy busy, but it was almost like starting business all over again, because we had to take all these new precautions, and, you know, doubly cleaning. We already do so much sanitation, and part of what you learn in cosmetology school is proper sanitation to avoid, you know, spreading disease and all of that. So on top of what we already do, we had all these other requirements placed on us. And so it took an extra amount of time in between everybody and to make sure that everything was sanitized and disinfected properly above and beyond what we already did. So it really was more difficult trying to figure out, I don't want to say a new way of life because I refuse to say that this is a new way of life, but kind of a new routine for now. We've since been able to better get that routine down, but it was really, it still is really interesting that the different challenges we have, having to make sure that everybody is booked in at the proper time, proper intervals, so we're not having too many people in the salon at once. There's very little blow drying going on. Everyone's wearing masks. Some people are requesting that they're maybe the only ones because they have certain fears for themselves or loved ones, which is totally understandable in a very unknown, uncertain time. Mm-hmm. Extra precaution is always, you know, paramount. You know, it's a way that we can show love to other people is to really take into consideration their feelings and accommodate them and meet them where they are rather than expecting them to be where we are. You always, to show the greatest love is to meet that person where they're at and to walk beside them in that. But, you know, during those 10 weeks, even though it was tough not being able to do my job, which I really don't look at it as a job because it's something that I really love to do and it is an artwork. And it's a beautiful thing that I get to do and I love it. But I also got to spend more time with my family and that was a very much needed thing. It was kind of a blessing in disguise. I have 2 children, ages 9 and 3, and we homeschool them. We homeschooled them since the beginning, before this whole COVID thing. So it was really great to spend all that extra time with the family. My husband started working from home, and so we really were together. And my daughter learned to ride her bike without her training wheels. My son learned how to ride his scooter. And those are things that, you know, I might have missed had I been at work. So, yes, being shut down for 10 weeks really kind of sucked. But like I said, it was a blessing in disguise. I got to spend more time with my family, and I wouldn't change that. I wouldn't trade that for the world.
Wow. I'm so glad to hear that you're looking at the positives through all of these. So how do you handle the challenge of a person that may not want to wear a mask? How do you feel about that? Or do you have a preference now? I mean, do you feel like people before had poor hygiene standards, that having masks actually helps you as a hairstylist from a health perspective? Do you think about that? What are your feelings personally?
I was waiting for this question. So personally, I believe that we are all adults who can make decisions for ourselves, and we all should be allowed to make our own personal medical decisions. I feel that there have been some oversteps by local and federal governments, but you know, I think that the adult population of the U.S. as a whole are pretty hygienic. Although I do have to laugh that the store's shelves were cleared out of hand soap, and I thought, what were people not washing their hands before? How did the hand soap get all? So that always made me laugh thinking about the hand soap, toilet paper. That's another silly subject, but hygienic wise, personally, I have certain beliefs, and in my job, I have certain requirements. And so I will do what I need to do to get my job done. And as soon as my job is done, my mask is coming off.
Yeah. Okay. So you mentioned that you love the work that you do, and what is the most satisfying aspect of your job?
You know, I really love getting to know the people who are sitting in my chair. They really are beautiful. You talked about, you know, who a person is on the inside, and that's really what I get to see, because I know what they look like on the outside. I know what their color, hair color really is. I know what they look like without makeup on. I know what they look like without their hair done. And, you know, it doesn't matter what someone looks like on the outside. It really is who they are on the inside. And the salon that I work at, we really are looking at the person as a whole. And that's something that I didn't get in previous jobs. I didn't have the time to sit down and really get to know somebody. I also feel like I probably didn't have the maturity back then in my early 20s to really understand how to speak to someone and ask the right questions and really connect with them on a different level. And so that's what I really enjoy is getting to know every single person who sits in my chair, because I'm with them, you know, through all the hard times and all the easy times and all the good times and all the sad times in their lives. And getting to rejoice with them and getting to mourn with them, it really, like, that's what being a human is all about, you know, just really loving on somebody whose journey looks so different from mine, but still being able to walk alongside them and be there for them. And really, hairstylists, we get to physically change what a person looks like and what they feel like. And that's just, it's an amazing privilege to have that big of an impact on somebody. And that's what I love when I'm all done and they look in the mirror and this big giant smile just lights up their face and they want to give you a big hug and they're just like, oh my gosh, yes, I needed this. Thank you so much. It's that life-changing, life-giving almost ability that I just, it's amazing to be able to have that impact for somebody.
Wow. So that's a very transformative experience. I'm sure you're sitting there, you meet someone, you're talking with them, and then you could even just simply boost someone's self-esteem with your own hands.
Yeah.
Is that how you feel? Wow.
Yeah. I mean, it's a great feeling to be able to do that for somebody. Yeah.
So what are the most interesting conversations you've had while being a hairstylist? Or what have you learned? Some of the nitty gritty part details of the job, like from your experience, this is me looking in on you right now.
What have I personally learned? Is that what you're asking?
Well, learned or interesting conversations. Let's start there. Something that just blew you away.
Interesting conversations. You know, it's really, okay, so when you first meet somebody, and everybody does this, you see them from the outside, that first impression, you make a decision about who they are, what they are, what they do, what they've done, what their personality is going to be, and you kind of sometimes have to, like, brace yourself for, like, oh my gosh, this is going to be a difficult one.
Okay.
So, it, you know, sometimes I am completely wrong with my first impressions. And you know what? I am so thankful that I have been wrong. And there have been some wonderful, wonderful clients that have walked through my doors and sat in my chair. And I thought, oh my gosh, I don't know how I'm going to deal with this. And then I just think, you know what? If this was me and I was going through this, how would I want someone to treat me? And you just have to really approach everything with love and care. And you get to find out some really amazing things about people once you have taken down those walls, not only the ones that you build up yourself, but ones that they've built up around themselves too. And you get to find out that, you know, this woman who has 6 children and she homeschools them, and you would never know. And she's just amazing and gets everything done. And it's like, how do you do that to the next person who is a flight attendant and, you know, she hasn't had a job because of COVID, and she still has to come in and get her hair done so she feels better about not having a job. Or the woman who is an entrepreneur and she has started up her own business and it's gotten really rocky, but she's got the passion behind it. And so she is still going no matter what. And hearing their stories about what's going on in their families and what their children have accomplished, there's really just so many interesting people out there that at first glance, you wouldn't know that they've got all that going on behind the scenes. I really don't want to get into too many personal things, but it really, just taking the time to get to know somebody, you see life from a different perspective.
So do you feel that a lot of people put on a front or that nobody would even know about? Is that a proper assessment? Okay.
Yeah, for sure. I think, you know, when we're struggling with things, we kind of put on a brave face and say, you know, oh, it's okay, I'm going to be fine. But really, I can tell you there have been times that we've cried with clients, you know, and we've hugged and we've prayed for people. I mean, we've, you know, it's just, there are things that once you stop assuming and you start listening and asking the right questions, you really get to know people and they become your friends and in a way they become your family too. And so when people come in, they're able to show that who they really are, at least for, you know, an hour, 2 hours, however long they're sitting in my chair for, and they feel at peace and they feel like they can kind of de-stress. And they know that, you know, I'm not going to judge them. I'm just going to love on them. And so there's a lot of people who need that. And, oh gosh, I forget who said this and I'm going to butcher the quote, but it's something along the lines of, you know, there's a lot of people who go to bed hungry for, you know, a touch or a hug or a kind word. And I never want to let that person who's hungry for that touch or that kind word to have seen me and gone away hungry. You know, if I can give somebody that love, that respect that they need, I want to be the one to give that to them because I would want someone to do that for me.
Wow, this is such a revealing conversation. I would have never known that all of that happens in a hair salon.
Oh my gosh, that and so much more, yes.
Goodness. Wow. So, tell us a bit about the types of hair you work with, your favorite looks, the hues, the skin tones, and what you feel they reveal.
Well, you know, the neighborhood I work in is very conservative, and so I do have a lot of conservative type of colors and cuts that I do, which is funny because when everybody walks in and they see me, right now I currently have pink hair, but it has been pretty much every color of the rainbow. And so they walk in and sometimes when it's a new guest, they go, so I love your hair, but that's not for me. And so I do a lot of conservative color, you know, touch-ups, highlights, balayage, but I also do fun, funky kind of colors as well. I have a guest who is a police officer, and we put teal highlights in her hair, and I just think that is the most amazing thing, that a police officer gets to walk around with teal in her hair. Like, I don't know, like when I found that out, like, are you sure you want to do this? Like, is that okay? And she was like, yeah, we're going to do it. And I love that attitude. Like, whatever, we're doing it. So I love I love that. And then I have, you know, people who are stay-at-home moms, but they want purple and blue in their hair. And it's just like, yes, you're amazing. But then I have very professional people, you know, teachers, who we have to do very conservative colors. But then in the summertime, you know, we'll put in a chunk of purple or something, you know, fun, that washes out before the school year starts. But, you know, I work on straight hair. I work on wavy hair. I work on curly hair. Really, hair is hair. It doesn't matter who or what the hair is attached to. You know, a person is a person. And everybody needs their hair done. And so I've taken it upon myself through the 15-plus years that I've been doing hair to further educate myself so that I know if anybody walks in through my door, I know how to do their hair, no matter what color or texture it is. Wow. But I really love doing short haircuts. That's always been really fun for me because there's so many different types of short haircuts that you can do, and it can be really conservative or it can be really funky and wild. So short haircuts are really my favorite.
Okay. So if you could style one person's hair, who would be your pick?
Oh, gosh. Anybody. Like alive or?
Yeah, alive, dead, whoever, anybody.
Yeah. You know, I think, oh, gosh. I can't decide between Marilyn Monroe, Audrey Hepburn, or Katharine Hepburn, or Judy Garland. You know,
okay.
any of them.
Well, let's break each down. Why?
Marilyn Monroe, you know, she's got beautiful hair. And I feel like she would have a lot of really interesting stories. And it would just be really fun to work on Marilyn Monroe's hair. Who did I say? Audrey Hepburn. Audrey Hepburn, she's like one of the most iconic people, you know, her hair, that short little pixie with those little baby bangs, like that had to have been so much fun to give her that style. Katharine Hepburn, oh my goodness, she's just amazing. She was a very strong woman, and she was just an amazing woman. I know. So to be able to also hear her stories would be really great because, you know, when you're doing someone's hair, they're in your chair for a while and you hear lots of different things. Judy Garland. Oh gosh. I have loved Judy Garland ever since I was a kid. I would watch all of her musicals. And just, she was also a person to be reckoned with. She was powerful in her own way, and again, just to hear the stories, I think it's not necessarily doing hair to say like, oh yes, I did this famous person's hair, but really it would be to get to know that person more and to really hear what's important to them and who they are and their philosophies on life.
Wow. I mean, I'd always heard that, you know, the most interesting and raw conversations do come out in a hair and nail salon, but I'm hearing it firsthand from you tonight. You know, I've never really gone up to a hairdresser and said, hey, does this really happen? But people just must feel so comfortable with being in a salon.
Yeah, they do. Because, I mean, really, when they sit in my chair, you know, and I talk to them, even if they've been coming to me for years, I say, you know what, are we doing today? You know, I have you down for haircut and highlights, but what are you thinking? Is there anything that you wanted to change? Or is there anything you wanted to try? Like, how was your last haircut? Was it good? Do you want to do bangs? I mean, what, you know, what are we doing today? And a majority of the time I get, you know what, I trust you. Do whatever you want. And, like, that is just mind-blowing that somebody has that much trust in me that they'll say, do whatever you want, and they know that they're going to love it. And so I think because they trust me doing their hair, they trust me with letting them be who they are and kind of almost be a therapist in a way, and really more like a sounding board in other ways. You know, sometimes we just need somebody to hear us. And so because they trust me with their hair, they trust that they can say these things to me, and it helps kind of get that off their chest and helps them to relax. I mean, I've been there through, you know, people getting divorced, people getting married, spouses dying, parents dying, you know, childbirths. I mean, it's, gosh, I'm very much into natural childbirth. I gave birth to both my children at home, unmedicated, with a midwife. I am a very big proponent of that, and breastfeeding, all of that natural child care type of things. And and I get to hear people's birth stories and the things. I'm like, sometimes, like, okay, we need to be quiet because we're saying certain body parts out loud.
Okay.
You know, that's just like usually taboo in the public, but it's so great to be able to talk about those things with somebody who's been through the same things that you've been through.
Mm.
So it's conversations like that, that are just really freeing, but also educational. And I've really, really just loved learning different things about different people, and it gives me an insight into who they are and why they are certain ways, which then gives me insight into how I can do their hair or not do their hair. So really just listening to people is huge, and I think everybody would benefit from just shutting their mouths and opening their ears.
Wow, that is a major gem piece of information that you've just dropped right now. Well, that's how we need to be here in District 52. I think what I'm hearing is that there is so much that people keep inside and not enough being expressed.
Yeah.
And that's just a recipe for America's mental health being at risk, you know? I mean, I just... There's not enough of a connection going on.
I just the other day, sorry to cut you off, but I just...
No, that's fine. Continue, please. We're here to be listening in on you. Okay, just keep going.
Just the other day, I was scrolling through like Instagram or Facebook, something, and there was a post, and I wish I remember who it was. I'll have to go back through because I think I posted it to my stories. It basically said that mental health needs to be talked about. It's not something that's wrong or taboo, that we really need to start talking about mental health. And you know what, with this whole COVID thing and people losing their jobs and people being furloughed and the unknown, like, we really need to talk about mental health. We need to be okay with asking those hard questions, because nobody else is going to ask those questions. You know, like, we need to ask, how are you doing today? Like, are you, like, mentally okay? What have you done to take care of yourself lately? I have a guest who is a school teacher, and she's going through some hard things in her personal life too. And, you know, I have to ask her, like, are you okay? Are you taking care of yourself? Like, you really need to make sure that you are not only taking care of yourself from the outside, but taking care of yourself on the inside. Like, you know, take a magnesium bath, you know, take that time to just de-stress. Talk to somebody about how you're feeling. Like, hey, let's talk about how stressful e-learning has been for you, and really just being able to ask those questions shouldn't be taboo. It should be something that we regularly talk about, and making sure that our friends and our loved ones are okay. Because, you know, how often do we say, oh, how are you? Oh, I'm fine. Okay, that's good. Okay. And that's it. But really, are you okay? I mean, when was the last time that somebody asked you, are you really okay? What's going on in your life? What do you need to talk about? let's go out to dinner. Let's go get a cup of coffee and let's really talk about what's going on in your life. I have maybe, other than my husband, I've got like maybe one or two friends that I feel like I know that if I need to talk to somebody, I can talk to them. And they're not going to judge me. They're going to be there. They're going to, you know, guide me if I'm going a little crazy. But we have that kind of back and forth. We can ask those hard questions. And it's really important, especially in this time where there's so much uncertainty. We really need to make sure that we have somebody to be able to talk to about mental health and make it not taboo anymore.
So do you feel like people aren't there enough for people, or is it time that people just don't have time to connect with people, or it's that people have guards up, issues? Well, what do you think is behind all of that?
You know, I think it's kind of a little bit of all of that. It's definitely trust issues because we've put up walls. And so we don't know how to trust anybody anymore. But I think there's also not time because I'm trying to put this as delicately and kindly as possible. We have basically been told here in America that you have to go, 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 do, 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 do. And if you're not doing something, or, you know, social media, if you're not showing everybody all the good stuff that you've done, then you're nobody and you're not important. And you better start doing, doing, doing. And it creates this this false front, you know, this mask that everybody wears. And it's scary to drop that mask and to start tearing down those walls that we've built up, because that means you're vulnerable. And when you're vulnerable, that means somebody can hurt you deeply. Mm. And that's a scary thought. But if you aren't willing to be vulnerable and taking the risk to be hurt deeply, you're missing the chance to be loved deeply. And that's being truly deeply loved by somebody, anybody, is, I think, the greatest gift that we could have in this world. And when somebody truly loves you, they're going to care for you no matter what you look like, no matter what you're going through. And to have that is just amazing beyond words, but it's scary as all get out because you have to be vulnerable and you have to be willing to have those hard conversations and you have to be willing to take down those walls and take off that mask and just be real with somebody. So I think there's so many things that go into mental health and the lack of it, because we're told to, you know, put on a bold face. You know, when somebody is crying, you know, they say that, oh, you know, I'm trying not to cry, you know, don't make me cry. As if crying is a bad thing. Have you ever, have you ever experienced that? Where somebody's told you like, oh, you know, stop crying.
Yeah, I think these days perhaps people are told or made to feel that cannot show emotion. Showing emotion does become a level of weakness. And I did not expect to be having this conversation with you tonight.
I know.
I mean, like, let's be real about it. Barrington, you know, your salon's there. You would not expect that people to be going through the challenges of COVID as much as you are indicating, and that people appear on a superficial level
to be having these wonderful lives, social
yeah.
lives, with every material aspect there is. But
mm-hmm.
deep inside, they want connection, and they come to your chair, and they put down
yeah.
all guard, and
mm-hmm.
they finally find someone who they feel will not be able to exploit them emotionally or whatever.
Right.
And for some reason,
exactly.
they feel that they're able to be embraced by you within that
mm-hmm.
hour or two. And you have to have your cup full to be able to give in such a situation. How
yeah.
do you do it?
Yeah. well, you know, I definitely am thankful for all the help that I get from my husband. He has been amazing at giving me the time that I need to kind of refill my own cup. You know, when I am feeling low or, you know, depressed, he is really good about making sure that I'm taking care of myself and doing the things that I need to do to refill that cup. And, you know, a lot of that includes going to church on Sundays, taking a bath, going to the grocery store by myself, you know, just little things that kind of are little escapes. And so everybody needs somebody in their lives who can help them to refill their cup so that they can then give to others what they need.
I mean, let's give it to you. I mean, tonight I just learned how much you are giving. It's not just a service. It's what we could consider an act of worship. You're practicing some form of divinity
mm-hmm.
in being able to give love. And from a place of an unconditional basis, you're not required
mm-hmm.
to by your job description. And you
right.
could just be that person that, hey, I'm just cutting hair, but you're doing
yeah.
so much more. And
well,
people
yeah.
like you are needed.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's where you're adding value to people's lives, and you may not see it in the form of remuneration.
Mm-hmm.
And imagine those 10 weeks where people were without you.
Yeah.
But you had that time with your family.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I was really able to fill up my cup, and I had to grab some extra cups so that I could pour from that. And really, when people got back in my chair, I cannot tell you how many people were just so relieved. Everybody who sat in my chair said, oh, I am so glad to be back. I needed this. It was very much a need. No, it's not needed to color your hair, but it was the need to come and sit down and be pampered and loved on. And that's really, for me, my main goal is to love on people. The way I do that looks different from how somebody else in a different profession or you know, a different field will love on somebody. But the way I get to love on every person who walks through my door and sits in my chair, yes, it's through my hands and the work that I do to create basically a living piece of art on them. Like, it's more than that. Hairstylists are a very unique breed. And there are some people who just do hair and they only do hair. And then there are some people who do hair but also connect with their clients. And, you know, we're not meant to live alone. You know, what's that? No man is an island. You know, we can't just wander around this world by ourselves. We need to connect with other people. And I mean, how can I get any deeper of a connection? I'm literally have my hands in their hair, on their head. You know, I give a mean scalp massage. People fall asleep when I'm massaging their heads. And, you know, I'm physically touching a person. You know, there's that connection, but then there's also just that they can, how do I describe it? When I'm touching somebody, my intention is always
to leave them better than what they came in, And if everybody could have that mentality, when you go somewhere, leave that place, leave that person, whatever it is, leave it better than how you found it. Whether that be a campsite or, you know, a restaurant or, you know, somebody you meet, a friend that you're meeting for dinner, leave that place, leave that person better than how you found them. And, you know, if we all did that, oh my goodness, could you imagine the change in this world? It would be amazing.
So where did you develop that ideology from? You just, it happened on the job, or as you grew up, you're exhibiting the love that was displayed to you. What's that all about?
Yeah, you know, I grew up in a very loving Christian home. Go to church every Sunday, go to Bible study. My mom and dad are just amazing. My mom has always been like my rock. And they really displayed what love is. My dad and my brothers were in Boy Scouts. My brother's an Eagle Scout. We would always go camping. And really, they would always say, you know, leave the campsite better than you found it. You know, clean up. Like, make sure that it doesn't even look like you were here. And it's like taking care of the earth from that perspective. But then also the people that I work with here at Ahava Organic Spalon, you know, it's just so amazing learning from other hairstylists and just the love that they have and seeing how I could change for the better by their example. And, you know, a lot of it is being willing to change. And kind of taking that introspective look and seeing where I could do better and changing, because not only does it help improve who I am and how I feel about myself, but it's going to improve the world around me and make it a better place for my children, for everyone around me. Yes, I grew up learning that and having that displayed and exampled for me, but it was also just kind of, if you will, on the job training. Also having my own children and realizing that, oh my gosh, another human being 100% relies on everything I do and say, and they're going to learn from me. Like, that's a scary responsibility. It's an ever-evolving, ever-growing aspect of my life that I'm always looking to do better and to be better. And who is it? Maya Angelou that said, when you know better, you do better. And that's a great outlook on life. You know, when you see the need to change yourself, do it. And don't say, oh, I'm too old for that. I can't change. I don't know, blah, blah, blah. Just do it. Baby steps, one step at a time. And, you know, you might be two steps forward, one step back, but that's okay, because every life is worth it. Every day you have a whole new renewed cup of mercy and grace to take from. And you know, it's just
please continue.
If people would just realize that they can change, that they can take those little baby steps to love, to listen, to kind of reflect, to take some time, you know, even once a week, and just look back at their week and go, okay, when did, you know, this happen? How could I have acted differently? What could I have said? You know, that's, oh gosh, that brings me into another thing. Have you ever looked at a person and thought, oh my gosh, she's so cute, but never said it out loud? all the time, right? But then you see somebody mm-hmm. and you go, whoa, what were they thinking? And you tell your girlfriend next to you, like, oh my gosh, look at her hair, look at that outfit. Oh, what was she thinking? We're so quick to spread that negativity. It should totally be the opposite. If we think something bad, don't say that. But when you see something good and you go, oh my gosh, your hair is so beautiful. I love that outfit. You are so gorgeous. Can you imagine what that would be like if you said all the good things you thought and didn't say all the bad things you thought? Like, everybody would be walking around with smiles on their faces. And it would be such a happier world if we just said what we were thinking, the good things. And so that's something that I've always challenged myself with. If somebody says, you know, gives me a compliment, my challenge to myself is to give them a compliment right back, because I return like for like, right? You know, I mean, what? Why mm-hmm, would you not? Mm-hmm. You're like, oh, thanks, and then walk away. Like, that's kind of a snobby thing to do. So if somebody pays you a compliment, I'm going to challenge you. Make sure you give them a compliment right back. And you say, oh, you've got a beautiful smile. I'm like, oh my gosh, your hair color is gorgeous. Oh, I love your shoes. Something that simple. I mean, because it lifts you up when you hear that, right? So let's lift each other up.
Yeah. So. Yeah, so true. This is such a necessary conversation, because I honestly feel that, you know, perhaps not enough of this is happening. And I'm literally dumbfounded. I did not expect to hear any of this come out tonight. But I mean, I'd heard that, you know, some of the, you know, intimate conversations do happen in a salon, or be it hair or nail, and that's where a lot of people have the ability to influence and lead. But tonight we're really hearing that, and you're not just a hairstylist, you're a healer, you're a person who acts in a form of faith, and that's what keeps you going.
Well, thank you for recognizing that. I think that you're absolutely amazing, that you're, you know, when you walked up to me, so I have to tell you, my husband and I were actually celebrating our 16-year anniversary, and we were having a fairly deep conversation, and you walked up to us, and at first I was like, oh, hi, but then, you know, it was such a relief, because I will tell you, no one from any government form of anything has ever walked up and said hi to me. And the fact that you were going around trying to get signatures just to get on the ballot, like that, yeah, of course I'm going to give you my signature. Everybody deserves a chance. And, you know, following you on Facebook and Instagram, it's just, it's so great to see somebody who really cares for the people. And I really appreciate and applaud you for doing this. This is just amazing, and it more people like you are needed in our government. So thank you.
And I thank you for tonight. And let's just end it on one last question. If you could be a superhero, what would your superpowers be, and what would you pick?
Oh gosh, what would my superpower be? You know, I think I'd like invisibility. You know, people say like, oh, I wish I could fly. I wish I could be I don't know, whatever. But when you're invisible, you can pretty much go anywhere and do anything you want. So if you wanted to hear what people were saying about you when you weren't there, you turn invisible, you walk into the room, nobody knows you're there, and you know what they're saying. Or you want to travel somewhere? Heck, you could get your ride on a bus or an airplane and nobody knows.
All right.
Invisibility would really be, I think, like the ultimate. That would be so cool.
Okay. Thank you for being our first guest tonight on this show. It was just very revealing and telling. Thank you, Tracy, Colleen.
Thank you for having me. Yes.
All right. I hope more people take the time to look you up. And who knows? I mean, some people from Hollywood could be following you now. You may just have a different career path. I'm not sure.
Oh, my goodness, right?
We'll see where you'll be in 10 years from now. I mean, who knows? You could go into health counseling or anything. You seem to have everything that is necessary.
Well, whatever I am going to do, I'm going to do it with my whole heart.
Wonderful. Thank you.
Thank you. Have
Good
a wonderful
evening.
Night.
You are now rocking with Alias the Frat. Welcome to Chicago 52 Radio, a green party where you're invited to the party and ask the dance.